Scripture reading this morning is in Matthew 14, starting at verse 22 through 33. Again, Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a spirit?" And they cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and saith unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" May God bless his word. Pastor Porteza, church, you can be seated.
We are so grateful to the Lord for you. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to turn on this stuff. We don't use that in over there in Argentina because we are so small that... Okay, let me see. Okay, now. Yeah, you hear me. Yeah. So we are so grateful to the Lord. We have many, many memories. Next month, I'm going to be 76 years old. And when you get older, you start to look back and you remember many, many things in your life. And you remember how many times the Lord was so good to you. One of the things when you get older, I don't know about you, but about me, many tears. Come very often to me. And sometimes I tell the Lord, "Lord, why? I want to just preach and talk to you about you, you know," and I cry. And I ask, "Lord, please give me control about this." But I don't know. You get older and maybe your heart is more tender or not, I don't know. But we really praise the Lord for what he is and what he did in your life. I say I have many memories about this church. Pastor, I keep the big flashlight that you bought it in the garage sale and put my name on it. I'm telling you the truth, brother. I pray very, very often for you because my wife and I love you, both of you. and telling you the truth. When we went to the parsonage, by the way, it's very nice, the parsonage. Everything was good, right, but was empty. When I come to the States, for me it's very difficult just to preach and to talk about the Lord Jesus to you. I don't know what is the needs here. So I asked the Lord over there for a long time ago, you know, when we decided to come here. What am I going to do, Lord, with them? What do you want to tell them? Because you have a good preaching, good teaching about the Word of God. What can I do for your people there? And I was praying. I didn't know what the Lord wants to tell you. And finally, the Lord put in my heart to talk about the grace. But not like the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ upon us in the ministry. So I just look away when we can use the scripture just to describe it, this, just to tell about that. And you know, the passage that you hear is an illustration about grace. Well, is the Lord reproach Peter because he has doubts? But look at these verses that I looked before, you know, and I understood that real, you know, because preachers, we know everything about the Bible. I mean, all the doctrines. But the problem is you leave knowledge of the Bible. It's real in your life. You experience that truth that you know very well in your mind. So after the years, you know, the Lord just show you this truth in the Bible that you know by experience. So look in this passage, you know, Peter. Peter was in the boat. And over there, you know, this big storm came. And, well, after the Lord was praying alone over there, he came to them walking up of the water. And then they were in the first place, they were just afraid because it's a ghost that is coming here. And the Lord said, no, I am. When the Lord told them who was, I am the God, I am the Almighty God, I am, you know, the God that you know loves you very much, and you know, I am. And you know, all the disciples in the boat, they knew who was Jesus. But the Lord put in his heart, you know, just to, Lord, let me go to you, walking upon the water. Knowing that the Lord Jesus could make possible for him to walk on the water. So the Lord said, come. And you know what Peter did? Was by grace. Because Peter couldn't do that by himself. Only the power of God let him walk upon the life, the water. And I was thinking about this in our ministry, what we were doing in the past. The Lord asked us to do something that we didn't have any. But we didn't have any potential things to do it, just to serve him, to build his church. And well, I was saved when I was 19 years old. It's gonna be 54, 55 years now. And a couple years later, the Lord called us to go to Bible Institute. And we went. Always we realized that we were nothing. The dream of my father was just to have a title, to be something in life, because he couldn't study. So he was a hard worker and was a very good father, a very good husband, and we really always give thanks to the Lord for the parents that we had. But he said, my dream is that you are not be like me. I wanted you to be something in life. So I'm going to pay you. I want to work. I went to work and he said, no way. You have to study. I'm going to pay for you to study. So the dream of him was just for us to be better than him in life. But you know, a couple years later, the Lord called us to go to Bible Institute. So my father didn't understand what we decided to do, just to study in the almost university to go to be a Bible Institute, to study the Word of God. So for him was like a, we say, a balde de agua fría. It was Well, it was a kind of cold water, you know, upon them. It's, come here, please. You know that I have problem with my ear. One of the things for me very difficult is just to try to present the message of the Lord in a strange language for me. But really, I'm very thankful to the Lord because over there, we are going to speak one language and we are going to understand each other. Well, but you know, Peter started to walk. And then, you know, finally, you know, he was walking the Lord when he put his eyes on the Lord. And the Lord gave him the grace just to, you know, to walk upon the world. But, you know, In the time that Peter, you know, walked to the Lord and was looking the Lord, no problem at all. And that was a miracle that the Lord was doing through Peter there. But something happened. And I just chose this passage because some years ago was my experience on that. So when he started to look around, he just was not looking the Lord, was looking around, was looking the circumstance. What happened with him? He went down. And the Lord always is with Peter, was with Peter, because he asked for salvation. Please, Lord. And remember that he was a man who used to be on the sea and the mar. So the Lord took him, and then they went to the boat. But one thing happened there. The Lord told him, "Why did you doubt?" Why did you doubt? And that happened very often to us as a Christian. The Lord called us to do something that is very, very important for him. He chose us, he saved us. And he has just one purpose. The purpose is to take us home. But in order to take us home, you know, we need to hear the gospel. And the Lord needs his saved people to hear the gospel, to preach the gospel. His question, "Why did you doubt?" was first direct to his disciple. But now it leads us to face the question of why we have doubts. And, you know, looking at this passage and this particular thing in the life of Peter, you know, we can see that doubts come when we allow circumstances to control us. Because in the time that he was looking the Lord, nothing happened. But when he started to see the circumstances that he was on it, you know, he had the problem. Because, you know, these circumstances control him. The Lord always say that we have to lift up our eyes because he said that I had a problem. I get in all and I forget many things. Also worse. Lift up your eyes because the fields are ready to harvest. And the Lord said, "Lift up your eyes," because most of the time we are looking all the things around us, the circumstances, job, family, you know, what we want to get in life. And that was Peter. Circumstances. Peter was looking around. He didn't look at the Lord Jesus. And what was most important, you know, just to walk on the water. Because the Lord was using Peter, you know, in the last verse of this passage in 20:33, they say that after all, they believe it. I mean, after all, you know, the Lord used Peter just to glorify himself. But Peter has doubts. Circumstances can control us by temporarily obscuring Christ or covering him from our view. So we don't accomplish what is the purpose for what God created us and God saved us. We can see that, and you know, in the Peter's life. When Christ is eclipsed, his commands are eclipsed too. He said, come, Peter, walk on the water. Well, Peter was walking on the water until he put his eyes, attention, everything, you know, in other things and the circumstances around. Was the sea, you know, very, very brave, and the wind, and you know, I don't know if you were in a situation like this. I was, 1975. And I'm gonna just tell you this because I wanted that you know what the grace of God, we can survive and we can do whatever the Lord wants for us to do. Well, in 1975, we were in a camp, youth camp. I used to lead in this youth camp. And well, we had all the activities, but before lunch, we went to a beach, the beach there, because it was in a beach places, the camp. So we went with the kids, 14, 15 years old, and we just came to the beach and we played soccer, football for us. That I realized that somebody told us why they call soccer here, you know. But anyway, it's another story. But, you know, we were playing, and then after that, we say, well, we go into the water. So we went. All the kids. So was a beach in those days that no safeguards, no doctors, no nothing there. So we went there and we went into the water. So they come and they play there, and I didn't see what was, I mean, deeper on the water there. So they were playing. The water was until here. And then something happened. Three big whales came. And you know, they came very strong. They just put out whatever there are over there. And then when they come back, they just, you know, take everything into the world. Well, this kind of, I don't know, was because of the temperature and the humidity that they produce this kind of thing. So the world took me three blocks into the sea. And I couldn't, you know, because swim, because I was tired and things like that. Well, in that thing, I was looking, you know, I never lost my conscience, but you know, the water, the sea was very hard, you know, with the whales, and you know, I was sometimes breathing water on it, but I never lost my conscience. And I always couldn't see and know what was going on. So I saw the short there. I was three blocks, and then I say, who is gonna take me out? So I was praying with the Lord, taking a good fellowship. I wasn't afraid or whatever, because it was a peace in my heart. I said, well, Lord, who is going to take me out? And so nobody came. And I asked the Lord, well, Lord, if it's an opportunity for me, I'm going to serve you until my last breath on this body. I told that to the Lord. Because my wife was very young, our first son has 6 months, so I was sad because of that. I was going to leaving a young woman, and also my first son. So what happened? Nothing came. In my heart, I experienced what the Apostle Paul said, I guess in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that he was in the sea, you know, and that he was there, and he thought that for him was going to be the last day, you know, of his life. And I feel the same. So finally, you know, I say, Lord, why we are going to just to make more time here on this earth? We say the agony, Lord, just to be longer in my agony. So Lord, just I'm going with you. And I thought I'm going to close my eyes here, and then I'm going to open my eyes and see the Lord. So I just keep not moving, and I just go down, 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 down. Let me go down. So I went. And you know, nothing happened. I was waiting, you know, the moment when something was gonna happen, so I'm gonna open my eyes and see the Lord Jesus. And a voice, like a voice inside, say, no, 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 no way. No, you had to go up again. So I just move very slowly, and I get up. When I get up, I hear a voice. He said, keep moving so you can help me. And then they put something in my back. Another voice say, are you okay? Can I help you? No, 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 no. Go out. I can do it. So they took me to the shore. Well, I say no safeguards. Who did that? And then They try, you know, just to put out the water that I have. I never lost my conscience. I hear everything. I saw everything. So they say, hey, hey, here is a doctor. A doctor in a place where there wasn't a doctor at all. But here is a doctor. So the doctor came and say, put him with the head, you know, down. So he started to push me here. And you know, a water came like a river from my inside. And then, you know, I thought, well, I don't die, you know, in the sea. This guy is gonna take me out. All what he have inside, you know. But I couldn't move, you know, because my temperature were so down that I couldn't feel anything of my body. Well, and then the doctor came to the place. They took me to the camp, and the doctor came to the place and say that he said that he was there because he came to visit his aunt. And the aunt told him, before we are going to eat, we can go to the beach. See? And the man who took me out was a sergeant, police sergeant, that was there in this place. And he said, you know, when I see you there, I want to go. But my wife said, don't go. And she, you know, keep me there, you know. And I have I had in my inside, you know, the need to go and to rescue. And you know why I went and rescue? Because I have a tire inside. What do you call that? What is the tire inside? Yeah, yeah. I say, I never brought to the beach. But because my son that is little, I didn't want it for him to use it. You know, something can happen in the sea. But he was asking me. Finally, I said, okay, I'm going to just take this. And I went to save you, to rescue, because I have that. Yes. It's what the Lord did to me. So when I look back, I can see His grace. Sometimes I have discouraged in the ministry, you know, Pastor knows that. Because things are not going like you want to go. You preach and teach and teach, and no answer. You can see results about that. So sometimes I was discouraged. But we are going to leave, but let's go to other place. One time the mission say, well, if nothing happened there, go sell the place that you are, the church there, the building, and go to other place. I say, we are not able to do it. Why? Because I told the Lord, I'm going to serve you until my last breath from this body. The Lord saved me that time. I was born twice, plus the spiritual born, but I born twice. In the reason for in this earth, on this earth. Well, you know, but sometimes we have doubts. It's very interesting how the grace of God can, you know, help you. I used to pray, Lord, what can I do for you? And the Lord, one time, told me, you are not able to do nothing for me. It's what I can do in you and through you. I learned that. And train them for the experiences, the circumstances I already knew for sure what the Lord wants for me to do. Well, I know that is His grace. I appreciate the hymn that this young lady sung this morning, the grace of God. And because His grace is what we can accomplish, what He planned in the past. And I understood that He counted with me. To accomplish His plan. He needs you. Thank you very much for your faithfulness to pray for missionaries, to support missionaries. Thank you very much for the cards that you sign and send to us as a missionaries. You are the only churches that you write a card. But I am ashamed with that sometimes. I have doubts. We were in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in Ramos Mejia, the place that we are now. We just came there in 1987. By the Lord's grace, we celebrate this year the 37 years over there in Ramos Mejia with the church. Well, in the evening, we are going to just show some pictures that you will better understand what I try to tell you right now. But, you know, we were renting a house, so we start the church over there, visiting the neighborhood, inviting the people to come to our house. So it was very difficult at that time to rent a house because they have some problems, you know, and people didn't want to do that. So we find, because the Lord just put the interest of rent a house amen, that He say, well, you, because you are a pastor, I trust you because I'm trusting the pastors there. You are not going to do anything wrong with the house or whatever, so they just rent the house to us. Well, we were visiting the neighborhood, and we stayed there for 4 years. After 4 years, you know, He said, well, I'm not going to renew the contract to you, so you had to go and find other place. So we were meeting in the house, and the house started to get, you know, just small. Sometimes we have meetings of 40 people in the living room. Well, He said, you had to leave that. So we say, Lord, what are we going to do? We had to find other house. We were just visiting the neighborhood, so we had to go to other place. No houses for renting. What are we going to do? And we pray about it, and we pray about it. And you know, a missionary that we didn't know that was about 3 blocks from us, finally we discovered that he was there. So he came to me and he said, well, I'm going home because my wife is sick. My son that is was going to come to just to replace me. He doesn't come yet now. And then we are selling the building that we bought for the church. And was a house, you are going to see the picture. It's a big house. Up is the parsonage house where we are living. And then the church is downstairs. And you know, and he said, come to me and you know, we are going to talk about that. Well, to buy a house, we didn't have the money. No credit we can get there for loan. And also, you know, we didn't have the money. So how much, I went and talked to him, how much you ask, and say $80,000. $80,000, we didn't have that. We have only just $20,000 because offerings that we were working there for 4 years. And then, you know, an offering that we get in one of the church for a memorial service that they did for our daughter when she died. And we have only this 20,000. And the Lord, and we were just telling the Lord what we are going to do. So we couldn't do nothing because we didn't have the money. Well, we were praying about it. It was 1 year, something more than 1 year. And finally, you know, the Lord, I was praying, the Lord said, okay, because I was talking with this owner, and he asked me if we pay monthly, how many years can he give us to do that? And he said 2 years. So the Lord say, because the Lord spoke, not aloud, but he spoke to your mind and your heart. He put in you, you know, the want to want and also then to do. I don't know what he says in English, but in Spanish says, él pone en vosotros el querer como el hacer. Well, I hope that you will not understand, but I mean, one day in heaven you are going to be. So, the Lord say, okay, go to him and offer him the 20,000 that you have and sign the contract. But offer him after the first year to pay 20, because after that he came down to $70,000. So after that you offer him just to pay the 20,000, and the second year, the last one, the $30,000. I said, Lord, how come I'm going to do that? I don't have the money. I told you that you go there and offer him this. So, well, Lord, let me think about it. I start to look my circumstances. If I sell my truck, it's going to be something like maybe $10,000. If I sell my photo machine, it's gonna be maybe $2,000. And then, Lord, I didn't have the money just to pay the first payment. And the Lord say, go and offer him. So I went, offered him, and he accepted. He say, okay. And I say, oh boy, I am in trouble. Because where I'm gonna get the money? You know, look at myself, look at my circumstances, you know, but not looking at him. Well, we just went and signed the contract. We gave him the $20,000. And then after that, we had to come here and follow. We came here, and in every place that we were, you know, we were explaining what we did, and you know, pray for us, and every say, okay, we are gonna pray. So I say, oh, thank you, Lord. A lot of people is praying. But more than the prayer, we needed the money. Because if not, I was gonna be in problems. So the last one couple that we visit was in Huntsville, Alabama. They invited for dinner, and we were talking about it. They said, just talk about what was going there. You know what is going there. So we talked to him. Oh, okay, we are gonna pray, finally. So after that, 2 days later, we had to go to the Atlanta and to the mission headquarters, and from there, fly to Buenos Aires. So next day that we were going to Atlanta, Tom Park called me, say, hey, you are leaving tomorrow, right? And I say, yes, we are leaving. Well, can you come and we are gonna say goodbye to you, you know, in our place where I'm working? Oh, okay, Tom, no problem. So time came and we went to say goodbye to him. And when we were there, they say, hey, come with me. So he took me to his office. He used to manage AC AC hardware, yes. A big one, you know. So he has 11 employees there. It was very big. And so he said, come to my office. So I went, he sit down, and he took some papers, put it on the table. I say, you know, my wife and I, we were talking about, and we want to help the church in Buenos Aires. Here is different plans. Loans, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years. Just you choose one. So I say, Tom, thank you for what you are doing. You are the answer of our prayers. So I say, well, these 10 years, how much was the loan? Well, at church, we have offerings every month of $350. And for us, we had about $350 for rent, a house. That was 700 a month. So we say, okay, these 10 years, 700 a month that we had. Well, you had to pay a loan of $668. Good. So we went to the mission and we talked to the director of the mission, and he said, okay, we had to call this man. And the mission had a policy that they never bought buildings for missionaries because it's a big mission, many missionaries, so they are not able to do it that. They used to have a policy, but that was a written policy. So the director called him, say, well, we are supporting the Fortezas, you know. And he said, thank you very much for what you want to do with them. Hear that. And the director say, let us know the papers that we have to sign. Never the mission did that before. But the answer of this man was, we don't need any paper. We are doing business for the Lord. So through them, we get the $50,000. That we needed. But it was very sad because this guy loves about what the Lord was going to do. He called me to go there and preach the gospel. To be faithful to him, to be obedient to his law, and that's it. Is what the Lord, the only what the Lord needs, just to glorify himself. Why do you doubt? I hear the voice of the Lord to me. Don't have any doubt, because I am the owner of the church. I'm going to be glorify myself through you. The only that I need is somebody who believe me. These miserable sinners. When I look back, you know, I can see many things that I did. I didn't believe what the Lord promised me. Say, 7 years ago, and with this I'm going to finish. 7 years ago, well, you know that I am diabetic since I was 71 years next month. But 7 years ago, we were in Fallo and in Pennsylvania. We were working with in a brother house that they just give us, you know, place to stay with. He invited us to stay with them. So every time that we used to go to any place, if we can do something for the people there, we do. We did that. So he was cutting wood, you know, and I had to take the wood, the piece of wood, and make piles. And then he came with the tractor and put the wood on the tractor and take it near the home, the house, and then over there take it out. So I did that. Well, we came a furlough, and maybe 3-4 months later, I start to have, you know, this kind of, I couldn't breathe. So I went to the doctor. The doctor said, well, you have pneumonia? Yeah. Okay. They put me in the hospital for 4 days and then say, okay, you are already all right, no problem at all, so go home. But I went home. When I went home, I still, because we had to go up to our house, one in the next floor, so I feel that I couldn't breathe also. So I came back to the doctor and say, hey, looks like I'm not yet good, health. And he say, no, you are. Because he took me an x-ray thing. So he said, no, you are okay. And I said, well, we are going to do other tests. When they did other tests, they find out that my 3 arteries, heart in the heart, they were blocked. It was working for month before over there carrying wood and things, nothing happened to me. See that I can see the Lord's grace in my life. Well, I went to the hospital. They did an open heart surgery. They just blocked my heart and they put me in a other kind of this heart, you know, and they just repair the arteries there. They took a vein from here, you know, just to repair and things like that. So after that, I came home after some days in the hospital. When I came home, you know, I had problems in my food, because I was there for, I don't know, many days, and you know, you are not able to move, and also if you get up, you have to go like this and get up, and you know, somebody help you to get up, you, because they just, you know, open your heart and then they put it together, and they are afraid that, you know, maybe you make a movement day when the thing goes up, you know. So you have to be careful on that. Well, after that, you know, my feet start to have a problem, because I know for sure, because they say that my main arteries, the foot and the brain and the arms, are blocked already. So I don't have good irrigation in my feet. So finally, you know, my feet start to get brown and then black, and end up with a surgery here. They just took my 3 fingers. And that was hard for me. I couldn't walk, and you know, the time start to go by, and you know, the wounded didn't get health, because my feet was like this, you know, and then didn't go, you know, together to be better. So for 9 months, remember, 9 months I spent in a sofa. The sofa that, you know, came up and you put your thing. And I spent 24 hours for 9 months on this sofa. Well, in the beginning it's nice because you rest, you sleep, you know, nice. But and then, day after day, week after week, month after month, you have to be there. I came a point, you know, that I was, ¿cómo se llama esta enfermedad? Cuando estás triste, ¿eh? ¿Cómo se llama la enfermedad? I forgot that. Well, the thing is that, discouraging, no, and then the other one, that is,
Depressed.
I got depressed, and I start to say, Lord, why you just tell me here? And I was thinking, you know, I'm going to die with this open wounded there in my foot. So I came to the point, like Jonah, to say, Lord, why don't you take me home? Because I used to, you know, to go walk and deliver trucks and, you know, things, mow the grass over there. All of these things was my wife doing. If I need a glass of water, I had to call her, please bring me a glass of water. And I came to a point to say, Lord, why you are able, you put me this in this sofa? I want to go home, Lord. Take me home, please. And I pray and pray because in those days I have a good relationship with the Lord. I was praying for all the neighborhood. I was praying for everybody. I was praying for every missionary that I knew, you know, and know. So, but I came to the point and said, Lord, I don't want to live anymore. Take me home, please. I'm not able to do nothing for you here. And I came one day. I always say, the Lord speak to you. It's not allowed. I keep it in your mind and in your heart. The Lord say, I can answer your prayer. And you know, he reminds me Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3. Hey, children here, young people, that you still have father and mother. The Lord over there saying that you have to honor your father and mother. And I did that when I was young. And then I got saved and I did it better. Honor my father and mother. And always I told you before, I gave thanks to the Lord for them. And the Lord say, you honor your father and your mother. Remember what I say that is going to happen to those who obey my word. You remember what I say there? The promise that the Lord just put or give you to those who really obey his command, his word. Is everything is going to be well with you. So I look back and say, hey,
Yes. Everything was well with me. I always had the blessing of the Lord, and you know, I had everything. But the second, he said, I have to accomplish the second what I promised you. Remember what is the second promise? I'm going to give you long life. You know why I'm still here? 71 years of diabetes, when most of you know any diabetic of 71 years old. Most of them, or all of them, because when I go to the doctor, say, oh boy, you are a miracle. Yes, I am a miracle. For that reason, I have all of these problems, but I still, you know, be on my feet. I can still behind the pulpit in that place maybe 3 hours with Sunday school and the worship service preaching there. Yes, I had to, after I finished, I had to go and sit down because I have some pain there. But I am still here. But this stupid guy answered the Lord, yes, Lord, thank you for what you did for me. But Lord, I'm here. Please release me. I relieve you of your word. You said relieve your word. Emma? Yo te libero de tu promesa. ¿Es así? Relieve you of your promise? Yeah? Okay, I didn't hear, but anyway. Yes, I told him, Lord, I doesn't matter what you want to do with me. I just, please, I don't want to, we say, te delibero, Señor, of thy promise. I mean, I don't care, Lord. I just really don't worry about it, what you promised me, you know. I just give you, you know, the release, you know. Don't consider that. And the Lord answered me, I have to accomplish my work. Sorry, I'm not able to answer your prayer. Because I still need you to accomplish what I planned in the past eternity. So you are going to be here yet. Why did you doubt? He knows everything, we know that. But he needs you to accomplish what he planned. Don't worry, don't be concerned about the situations. Don't look at your circumstances. If his will, you always will be for you possible to do what he planned. I don't know if you have any doubts about this, about what you have to do for the Lord. The only thing that I wanted
for you to know that His grace is always ready to help you. Ready to help you. I don't think what you can do for Him, you can do nothing. Just let Him do in your life and through your life what He already planned before. We love you, brothers. You have a place in our heart. Because we know for many years the Lord make a team in between you and us to accomplish His plan in Ramos Mejia. Thank you very much. And Lord really bless you.